come dressed with his authority. He has his hat, he has a scepter, and these are marks of authority. And it goes to your son, your oldest son. So we're honored to have him wearing the marks of his authority on Father's Day with us and his ministry among us. This is the traditional role of men as leaders, people with authority. And Darlington is also recognized as a leader among men, and many of you as well. However, our theme today is the work of grief and failure. And I would like to think with you today about God the Father and the work that grief and failure did in God Himself. That is one of the most, for me, knowing God's forbearance, His patience, and His graciousness in His sorrow is one of the things I respect and honor and love so much about God that we don't perhaps notice as much as very often. Today is Father's Day. Fathers and all men, no matter who you are, men are supposed to be strong, protective, effective in their work, successful. God is presented in the Bible as a heavenly Father who has all of these qualities, certainly. We might think that we would need to be successful in order to experience the companionship of Almighty God, who is creator and sustainer of all things. And yet, it is God's grief at the condition of the human heart, God's sorrow at the reality of human society, and the patience, mercy, and faithfulness of God, which show God to be truly great. Genesis 6:5 is a crisp summary. The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. Would any of us stand in this company and dispute that description of our hearts? Genesis 6:6 continues, with God's sorrow at this outcome, the Lord was grieved that he had made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. This is the same thing that happened to when Adam and Eve turned away from trusting him. God called out to Adam, Eve, I'm here for our evening walk in the cool. And they ran away from him. They hid themselves. They understood what they had done against the majesty of God. In Genesis 3:8 through 10, God sums up his 6 days of work. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. God's enjoyment of his good and beautiful world was short-lived, however. Humans did not trust God's wisdom and generosity, and they were expelled from the Garden of Eden. We learn the mystery that God's work is good, and also that the world as we know it is not the way that God intended it to be. The Bible reveals the presence of a tempter who hates God and wishes to destroy humans through their disobedience to God's goodness. The Bible also makes it clear that evil arises out of our own hearts and welcomes the temptation. We are held responsible for our choices. When we are delighted by trying to get away with something, we are not experiencing the presence of the Holy Spirit in Christ. But when we pass over into life through God's mercy in Christ, we experience the agony of the struggle between the sin in ourselves and the life of God that we are promised. Paul writes,
I don't understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. We might certainly expect that in this agonizing struggle, God would shun us until we can overcome evil. However, it is precisely in that struggle that we live and breathe in the presence of God. We know that God is working in us when we want to obey and follow God, even though we cannot do so by ourselves. And although the Spirit of God is sent to us to teach us and empower us to obey and follow, as long as we are in this world, we are never free from the sorrow and suffering that our own sin and the sin of others causes us. This is the human condition, struggling to hear and obey the will of God, despite the urge to run away from God. There is mystery here, for in the Revelation of John, chapter 13, 8, we even read this interesting word about the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God, Christ, slain from the creation of the world in order to write in the book of life the names of those who belong to him. Slain from the creation of the world. The world was created good. How could Christ have been slain from the creation of the world? It might seem that sin was part of the created order, but God, as revealed in the Bible, we know this cannot be and is not the creator of evil. That God created free will despite knowing all the possibilities of the human heart is one of the secret things that belong to God that is not revealed to us, Deuteronomy 29:29. Speaking from traditional views, men are expected to be successful and to lead and to handle themselves without any help and to take care of difficulties as they arise without asking for help. Can we not learn from the Heavenly Father that grief and sorrow are entirely appropriate and necessary in leadership, with the acknowledgement that God's purposes will always stand true? We can say, with that acknowledgement, that things do not go as planned, even for God, with the acknowledgement that he is sovereign. God created men and women like him, with free choice, which permitted the possibility of evil, although evil is not his will. If the world was a disappointment to God himself, can we not expect disappointment in our own lives and in the good work that we try to do? Why would we demand that what we do be a complete success? Why would we try to conceal or deny those things that did not go as we planned or wished? God himself knows neither sin nor folly, and therefore his suffering is not like ours. His suffering is not for any wrong that he did in his being, in his thoughts, in his actions. That makes God's suffering very different from that which we experience every day. Yet, in entering into our hearts and our world, God shares in the sorrow, the suffering, the anguish that evil causes within ourselves. For fathers, for men, and for every person, God himself knows disappointment and sorrow. God himself saw that things are very different from what he intended originally. God himself finds a way to show mercy and be patient for very long periods of time. God himself, because of the humiliation and the disrespect accorded him by society, does not alter his purposes. He doesn't try to prove anything. He doesn't have to come out swinging. He never alters his purposes when he is not honored or he is not given proper glory. And as we see from the scriptures, the flood wiping away, this is no children's story. This is no children's story. Wiping away the population of the world. The new start with Noah's family did not change the intentions of the human heart. If you read the story, it just starts all over again in Noah himself and in his family, which was a very confused family. Through long ages, God continues to work out his purposes without faltering, although he is full of sorrow. This is the glory of God. When in need, we often choose the company of persons who are tempered by grief and disappointment. They are the ones that can walk with us through our difficulty. The patience, maturity, and generous heart that come from faith within sorrow are a reflection of the character of God himself. The prophecy about the Messiah in Isaiah 53 is Christ, the Messiah, will be a man of sorrows acquainted with grief. And this is the aspect of God which I would like to bring to our attention today as a guide for our own lives. To God be the glory for his patience and for his goodness in the middle of his sorrow. Amen.